You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Folks, Mother's Day is around the corner, and let me talk to you about 1-800-Flowers. I can't wait. Every year, it's a tradition. I send stuff to my mother, my mother-in-law, and my wife because they are three amazing moms. They're better than all your moms out there. You think you have good moms? No, I have good moms in my life. I'm just kidding. This was a little harsh. I'm sure you guys all have good moms too. From your mom to the mother of your children and all the moms in between, this Mother's Day, give back to the ones that have given you everything. 1-800-Flowers helps you celebrate all amazing moms, from homemade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts, ordered easily and delivered fresh. For a limited time, you can save up to 40% off Mother's Day bestsellers at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan. Don't wait. Order today and save up to 40% at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey, please drink responsibly.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
We will do stat of the day here with Mike Schur in a moment. Also want to cover just some more football stuff with Mike Schur. I've got some bonus stats here for you, Stugatz.
Bonus stats?
ESPN wow. Stats and info. Lamar Jackson yesterday against the Blitz. Belichick knows how to take away things. 9-for-10 for 110 yards. 4 touchdowns.
That's a good bat.
4 touchdowns. He has 6 touchdowns against the Blitz so far this season. 5 all of last season.
He's the best player in the NFL, dude.
Don't blitz Lamar Jackson. Also, the Raiders.
He's doing it with nothing. He has no one on his team. It's just him out there.
No real running game, but Duvernay, Bateman, it seems as though they've quietly improved
Andrews
the skills.
Andrews is great, Stugatz.
He is the running game. He's tied with Christian McCaffrey for 4th in rushing yards.
Yeah, they just got Dobbins back, but slowly but surely, the wide receivers there are coming online.
Dan, he's almost on pace to be better than his MVP season. In his MVP season, first 3 games, he had 836 yards, 172 on the ground, 8 touchdowns. This year, he's got 750 yards throwing, 243 on the ground with 12 touchdowns.
The Raiders are the only 0-3 team in the NFL because the Texans are 0-2-1.
Big tie.
And you can't make the playoffs from there. And they're 0-3 against teams that are combined 3-6. The Raiders are done. Because you don't come back from 0-3. And also the Broncos. This was frustrating watching that last night. The Broncos, the only team in the NFL in the last 30 years to win a game despite having at least 8 more 3-and-outs than their opponent.
Did you stay up for the finish of that game? Because a lot of people at halftime were like, I'm not.
The long drive, I did not.
I was one of them. Yeah.
I did not want. They hired a time management consultant. I actually thought that Hackett did a good job of like being like, look, I don't know what I'm doing here.
It was cool. That was actually cool for him to admit that.
I don't know what I'm doing. I need help here.
The Raiders could just as easily be 3-0. You got to love the NFL. I'm serious.
Well, they're not, though. They're 0-3 against teams that are combined 3-6.
Yeah. Josh McDaniels has already had a closed-door meeting with their owner, really? Mark Davis.
What were the funny things or the great things from yesterday for you, Mike? Because I don't know how you experience your football Sundays, or if you're living and dying with the Patriots, or if you're just being forever amused by punts that go into the butt of people so that you get only 2 points, and the Dolphins can celebrate that they're 3-0 and Tua is a champion winner today, as opposed to what we would have been doing if that bunt and if the football had gotten lodged in the ass of that guy and he had been merely tackled in the end zone and had the ball taken out.
Yeah, that the things that make me happy in football now are the absurdities. Like, I don't live and die with the Patriots anymore. The absurdity of the Bills Dolphins stat line was good. They had twice as many first downs. They outgained them like 475 to 241 or something. The Dolphins, I thought the strategy to punt the ball directly into the butt of the guy in front of you was actually smart, because it just gave the ball immediately back to the Bills without them having the chance to like return a punt from the 50. And that, like, if that were Belichick, would have, if that were Belichick, people would have said they did it on purpose. That's how, like, that would have been
the, right. McDaniel's been getting there, though. Finale. I mean, yeah.
Also, the step out of bounds, Garoppolo stepping out of bounds and getting Orlovsky off the hook was nice. The fact that I watched the whole game last night for some reason and was actively rooting for a scoreigami, which is an NFL score that's never happened before, which is very possible when it's 7-5 after three quarters. That's the part. I'm not quite Mike Ryan. I don't root for all 32 teams, but what I root for is just, I root for what you call in quotes football, which is just dumb, weird, impossible things happening. And there were a lot of them yesterday, and I enjoyed the hell out of it.
Would it be news if it was an open door meeting with Mark Davis?
Everybody come in. Everybody in. Let's just hash this out in public.
There's few people in the NFL, I think, that I'd want to be less locked in a room with than Mark Davis one-on-one.
Why?
I mean, just look at him.
What if you were getting his haircut while you were talking
to him? It's the haircut. It's all in the haircut. That's where it is.
Doesn't he travel with a hairstylist?
That's an expensive haircut.
He travels to get the haircut.
He goes a long way in order to get his haircut that way.
He does?
Yes. Yeah, it's expensive.
A very long way. Yeah.
Hours, I think, is what's been reported.
How does he travel?
I don't know.
Car, plane? What are we doing?
My second favorite nugget, actually, behind the fact that he has most of his meetings at a P.F. Chang's bar and still at a flip phone.
Lettuce wraps.
I wonder why they're 0-3. Put it on the point.
What he calls his hair cell.
They could just as easily be 3-0.
At Lebatard Show. Thank you, Stugatz. All of the teams in the league, it seems like they could be all 3-0. Yes, at Lebatard Show.
Mark Davis drives a minivan and travels 400 miles to get his hair cut.
That is not true.
That can't be true.
He drives 400 miles in a minivan to get his haircut, and then 400 miles back. So he's driving 800 miles to get a haircut.
Well, yes. With the stop off at the P.F. Chang's.
That haircut.
Worth every penny. Look at him. It's worth every penny.
Stugatz, what is your source?
Business Insider. How about that? That's credible, right?
Reputable source.
Insider.
I got another one called Deadspin, and Deadspin actually says 500 miles. Conflicting reports. How about that?
The before or after the move to Vegas.
It sounds like this is something you'd write in fiction, to get that haircut, to drive 500 miles for that haircut.
Maybe like, you Vegas should be driving 500 now. Miles to avoid that haircut. See, like, if the barber is near you, you should be driving 500 miles away from the barber.
You're just rooting for scoregamis at this point?
Yeah, that's right. That's all I care about. All I care about is scores that have never happened before. Last night, 16-11 was on the table. Wow. I think 18-11 was on the table.
But why? Like, to tell your grandkids I was there watching 16-11? Like, what's the goal here?
Yeah, that's probably right. I was watching, I don't know if any of you remember this, but I was watching the game, the Steelers-Chargers game from 2006 when the 11-10 game happened. And there was a last-second lateral, and Troy Polamalu picked up the ball and ran in for a touchdown, and I was furious. This is before scoregami existed, but I was, like, deeply upset because the announcers had said already there has never been an 11-10 game in NFL history, and that's what I was rooting for that 16 years ago.
Scoregami hipster.
He really is. He really is. He was
scoregami isn't cool anymore now that everybody knows about
it. You like scoregami's first album.
Time now for stat of the day.
Stat of the day. It is the stat of the day. Stat of the day. It is the stat of the day. Stat of the day. It is the stat of the day. Start of the day. It is the start of the day.
Stat of the day is presented by ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Well, folks, we lost Serena Williams, and now we've lost Roger Federer, officially retired over the weekend. Tennis.com has been chronicling all of the insane stats and records he has from his career. Among them, he's the only tennis player ever to win two majors 5 years in a row each. He had a 65-match grass court winning streak. He won 24 consecutive finals that he played in. Apparently, when he was a youngster, Stu Gatz must have said, do it in a major. So he did by winning the first 7 Grand Slam finals he ever played in. He reached 10 Grand Slam finals in a row, 23 straight semifinals in a row, and 36 straight quarterfinals in a row. But here's the craziest Roger Federer stat to me. From February 2nd, 2004, to August 17th, 2008, he was ranked number one every single week. That is 237 weeks in a row, 4.5 years, he was ranked first amongst all tennis players, which is 77 weeks or roughly a year and a half longer than the number two streak all-time in men's tennis set by Jimmy Connors. So happy trails, Roger Federer.
I've got a competing stat of the day from Jeremy Frank on another kind of greatness from Albert Pujols. Stugatz, his average home run trot is 26 seconds long. Therefore, he has spent 5 hours of his life trotting after home runs.
Soaking it in.
5 hours of his entire life has just been in the joyous experience of running around the bases slowly because you've hit a home run.
He had a really weird trot from third to home and then like behind home plate, the person he had high five back to his team.
Adrian Beltre.
He didn't move his arms. He was just like bouncing up and down and his arms were still. By the way, congratulations to him on getting it done. Aaron Judge, get it done already. Like, exactly. What are we waiting for? Enough is enough. Cutting in, interrupting everybody's games and everybody's TV viewing habits. Like, hit the stupid home runs already. You play in a little baby park. Let's get it over with.
Can I just say that keeping Aaron Judge from hitting a home run from hitting 61 at Yankee Stadium, it is the Red Sox World Series this year. Like that, I was as happy when that game got rained out last night as I would have been if they had won the World Series.
He was so close a couple of times too against
you. I know,
you.
It's so great. He hit so many fly balls that caused everyone to jump up and then...
Were you watching last night? I'm assuming you did not watch the K-Rod cast last night.
Did not.
Oh, they had Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, and A-Rod on at the same time just talking baseball.
Oh no, why?
It was that Barry Bonds is actually really good talking baseball. Like, he had good stories and good insight.
Greatest player ever.
Yeah, no, but he was really good. Like, just kind of seeing the way that he would go about things and how he, when he was a hitting coach, he was telling a lot of Marlins hitting coach stories, which I love. But he was saying how, like, Ozuna was like 1-for-19. He's like, I just want you to get an out. And then he hit a home run and he got mad at him. Oh, I eat all that shit up. It was so great. And I was just thinking, man, there are not probably 3 dirtier players in the history of the game than Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, and A-Rod, and we're highlighting all of them right now while we're trying to see Aaron Judge break a Yankees record.
Mike, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
So I'm not really sure how you feel about the cut-ins, but like, let's hypothetically say you're watching the Red Sox play a pretty important game late in September. It might have playoff implications down the road, home field advantage, things of that nature. They're playing another really good team, and you start seeing cut-ins for... DJ Uiagalelei about to break an ACC record. What are you doing in that scenario?
Well, I take it you're complaining about the fact that you were watching Clemson football and they were cutting in with Aaron Judge.
Yeah, and let's say hypothetically the Red Sox hit a couple home runs while you're listening to audio of DJ Uiagalelei about to break an ACC record.
They should cut into the Yankees game for that.
I guess I would say, you know, sports is great and I love it and I'm happy that that people can appreciate and watch achievements and accomplishments in all sorts of different sports. And this is by the way, the analogy isn't it's a Red Sox playoff implication game in September. It's a Red Sox Blue Jays game in early May, I think would be the rough equivalent.
So Clemson, Wake Forest?
Yeah. Come on.
They're both ranked right now. Yeah. They're in the same conference. They're in the same division of the same conference.
It's September.
It was a shootout.
Atlantic implications.
Yeah.
It went into overtime.
By the way, since you're picking on me, I'm not picking on you.
I was wondering what you thought about it.
I tuned into this show to see what you guys and ladies were talking about, and I heard you say, this is the first time the Super Bowl has catered to my generation since 2020.
I know. Total erasure of the weekend. I felt so bad. I meant 2021.
It's been a while.
Mike, it's been so long.
So last year in the Super Bowl halftime show, people of my generation got one, like we got our little moment to shine, and that was too much. That's we can't ever happen again. We got to go back.
They had like 10 straight years of legacy acts, which as I get older, I kind of miss.
They sprinkled some Bruce in there 1 year, right?
There you go, Mike.
I'm still pissed about the Maroon 5 year.
I do. It's just, we're not, the Maroon 5 thing is already aged poorly. Just when you stand, Katy Perry's halftime performance up against such iconic acts as the Blues Brothers in 97, really, you're going to be embarrassed by that.
Remember the year the Rolling Stones played and they could, I think it was the year after the Timberlake thing maybe, when they were like, let's just go the safest possible route, and they had the Rolling Stones play and they could barely stay in tune and it was horrifying and embarrassing.
Don't talk about my friends like that.
Rolling Stone? What?
I love the Rolling Stones.
Really?
Really?
I was going to say my Shocker. Dad's.
Mm-hmm.
Your grandparents.
Yeah, then I got tripped up because I was like, they're actually probably older than my grandparents.
He's approaching 80, isn't he? Mick Jagger's approaching 80. We're going to have Anna Wolf on again later this week because of her reporting in Mississippi Today about Brett Favre. But as these details keep coming out, where it seems increasingly obvious that Brett Favre was doing the worst possible thing, stealing from the poorest people in the United States, these details that you've seen come out recently, Mike, as everyone in leadership has fled their positions and Favre is the only one still standing with a brand new volleyball stadium. It's gotten even worse since the first time it made you indignant.
Oh, Mike, it gets worse every day. There's new revelations today. It's 9 in the morning on the West Coast, and there were two new revelations today that she uncovered. One of them is that Ted DiBiase Jr., I think, son of the million-dollar man Ted DiBiase, in a previously sealed indictment, revealed that the governor of Mississippi, I may have some of the details wrong, I apologize, but the governor of Mississippi cut off funding to a bunch of to a nonprofit because they had supported his opponent in the primary or something the year before. And there's a new revelation that Favre also wanted money for football stadium improvements. So it goes beyond just the $5 million that he wanted for the volleyball stadium. Now there's extra money that he was looking for a football stadium improvement. I mean, now it's up to $8 million, all of it. And he knew, that was the other fairly new revelation, I think, that the text showed that he was 100% aware that this was essentially illegal. And it's like every day it gets worse and worse and worse. It's going to go down, I think, as one of the most embarrassing and awful like former athlete scandals of our lifetime.
Is it getting covered enough? Is it getting covered enough, though? Because it's a layered thing. He's a superstar, a former superstar. It feels like it's being underreported.
Dan, you'll be happy to know he's been suspended indefinitely pending the results of this investigation by SiriusXM.
But Copperfit is still standing by his side.
Yeah, Copperfit. Yes. Yeah, they'll never let him go. Waiting to get all the facts in.
It crossed over last week, though, because the New York Times has started reporting on it, which means that it has officially crossed over into national news, which is good because it was buried in, you know, it seemed like a local scandal in Mississippi. But now I've seen other outlets reporting on it and appropriately citing Anna Wolf for the reporting she's been doing for half of a decade now. So that's good. I mean, where it goes, who knows? I don't know if it will. I don't know what effect it'll have. I don't know if charges will be brought. I don't know, even know if technically he himself broke laws. It's all very confusing. But it is. I have seen it picked up in more places than just Mississippi today. So, you know, who knows? Who knows what the future holds?
I'm not trying to make this sound look at me, Louie, but I was looking back at my old tweets because I remembered reading one of Anna Wolf's stories, like, 6 months ago and I tweeted about it because there were tweets from or texts from Brett Favre that had a bunch of like football puns in them. So like while they were orchestrating this scheme, they were making very corny jokes to one another. And I tweeted about that. And I remember at the time being surprised that more people weren't talking about it. But
that was just for speeches not made, right? That was the initial $1 million, wasn't it?
I don't think so. I think there was more in that. But then when the more recent filing came out and it has all the other text messages and the governor saying I'm too old for federal prison, all of this, it's just gotten like a little bit more to easier to understand, because I'm not someone who can read a news story about financial improprieties and fraud and really be able to wrap my head around it. Like it's a little bit, there's a little bit of a learning curve with a lot of this and like what is going on.
Well, it's but it's simplified into stealing from the poor.
Yes, correct, Dan. But yeah, like now it's been pretty. It's pretty cut and dry what's been going on, and that he knew it was at least bad enough that he didn't want the media to find out about it.
And what he couldn't have anticipated was, hey, you know, this is kind of run-of-the-mill fraud, right? Is that everybody in Mississippi is pissed looking for someone to pay for what's going on in that state, and he might be the fall guy.
I'm reading, though, the text. When I read the text and the chumminess of I love you guys and everything else, it's just so obviously dirty that he's trafficking in sports worship to make these powerful people allow him to live a life of elite privilege that I'm guessing he's lived his whole life since he's been a pro, that he's just gotten used to it. People just give him money because he's Brett Favre.
That part of it really rankles me, too, is that he, in some of those texts, he uses football terms. He's like, we need a Hail Mary, or like, it's the fourth quarter.
That's what I'm saying. It's like there's this chumminess because he's a football player that they get to speak on the same level and joke around and kid about it. And it makes it even worse because it's like just disgusting to read these messages and how they think they're being so smart about getting away with it. But it's all in writing and it's all public record.
Good talking to you, Mike. You're just shaking your head in disgust, which isn't great in an audio medium. Thank you for being on with us.
I saw it.
I did. I also saw it. I saw it. Just not helpful for me in punctuating the show today. That's all.